Join me in Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the Lord, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in all of human history. The event and its implications affect the history of the world past, the world present, and the history of the world that is yet to come. Every person that has walked this earth or will walk this earth will one day come face to face with the results of that monumental Easter morning. No one will be able to avoid it. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul states emphatically a truth that I pray we all know. He says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is, in fact, Lord." This morning, we celebrate the pinnacle of the Christian faith. It makes us who we are. With the words from the angel of the Lord, "He is not here, he is risen," just as he said, the gospel and its far-reaching message was launched. It began in earnest that Sunday morning. This day, today, Easter morning, is the day that celebrates the event that makes us Christian. It celebrates the event that gives us life. It celebrates the event that gives us purpose. It's the event that gives us hope. It is the event that gives us hope. The angel of the Lord said once again, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." With that statement, the history of mankind was changed forever. But is it true? Is it really true? Is it really a fact? I mean, none of you were there. I was not there. no one alive that saw or reports to have seen is alive. We have no what might be called ironclad certifiable evidence of that event. So I ask, is it true? How do we know that it is true? In reality, all we have, all a person today has, are the testaments like what I've just read. There are some secular writings that purport to have seen a man like Jesus, but that's all we have. One scholar says, dead people don't rise. If we are asked to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then we must understand that this is an unparalleled event. The resurrection stories of Jesus concern a man whom they all knew. He was executed in a very public manner. He was seen to be alive and well, as the reports go, but in strangely in an other mode. 6 weeks after his rising, he parted from this little gang, this little church that he formed. But we must understand, these reports, these testimonies, have no parallel in any form or fashion anywhere. This is a singular event that there is nothing that parallels it. Is it true? Is it possible? Well, if we report to believe in God, and if we report to or live as though we believe that the Son of Man came and died, and if we believe that He defeated sin, and if we believe that He did in fact rescue us from our own sins, then we could probably go down the line of saying, yes, it's possible. But is it in fact true? Matthew says it is. Luke says it is. Paul says it is. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, the ladies in the upper room that day, we have testimony, written testimony, where they say it is. But much of the world says it is not true. I would like to offer to you here this morning 5 arguments that we as Christians can use, should use, and be familiar with in arguing the truthfulness of the resurrection. First of all, we have the female witnesses. Matthew's account here records Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Luke records the women who saw. There are other accounts of where these ladies report what they have seen. The two Marys. Now, please understand, they did not see the resurrection. Nowhere in Scripture is the actual proceedings of the resurrection recorded. Nowhere. It's only testimonies from individuals who saw Him buried and then again saw Him alive. They report that they saw an empty tomb. They report that they had the confirmation of angels who gave testimony that Jesus was in fact raised from the dead. The second argument would be the tomb itself. There are secular reports where they went to the tomb and saw that where they had laid Jesus, that there is now no body of Jesus. The body of Jesus has never been, nor will it. And so the simple fact that the tomb is empty is a proof that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. There are those who would argue that they went and looked in the wrong tomb, that they didn't really remember where He was buried. Now, give me a break. A phenomenon such as this, that the governor placed guards at the tomb But somewhere between Friday and Sunday, they lost the tomb. I don't think so. This was a very prominent tomb. It was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It was a prominent place. They knew where it was. And the tomb was empty. Thirdly, the resurrection appearances. Matthew records two appearances. The other gospel records others. 1 Corinthians 15, in Paul's writing, records that he went to Peter himself. Then he went to the 12. And then he appeared to over 500 of what is referred to as the brothers. In Paul's writings, he also records that he went to see his brother, James. And that he also went to the other apostles outside the 12. And then Paul says, he lastly came to me, one of unnatural birth. Meaning he was born a Gentile and then converted. Born outside the city and then converted through Jesus' own appearance. So here we have all these testimonies of an appearance of a living Lord afterwards. The fourth argument is one that you offer here this morning. The transformation of the followers of Jesus is the greatest singular argument of His resurrection. Look at the two Marys before and after His resurrection. Look at the disciples in the upper room before and after the resurrection. After the crucifixion, they were extremely afraid. They would not leave the room of which they were in. But what did they do after they saw Jesus? They went out. Transformation. Look at some leaders in particular. Look at the difference in Peter prior to Jesus' resurrection and after. Prior, he was indecisive, afraid, but yet when he understood the resurrection and he saw Jesus, he became one of the bolder preachers we have record of. James and John, they were referred to as the sons of thunder. I can identify with that. They were referred to as the sons of thunder because they were just rambunctious and very lively and vivacious and wanted lots of attention. Then what were they after? They were very loving, very compassionate, very caring. Pick any one of the disciples and look into how they died. If you want to read a fascinating story, look at the death of every one of the apostles, the disciples, except for John. They were horrific. Don't you think that if Jesus' resurrection was a story that they had made up, that when they walked Peter to that cross and turned him upside down and nailed him to it, don't you think that that lie would have come out? When James was beheaded, don't you think before that time he would have said, "Oh, wait a minute, let me tell you the real story." No. They all died a martyr's death very, very willingly because they understood the resurrection and they saw Jesus. And as I've said, every one of you here this morning who has been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, you are an argument for His resurrection. Because that power of transformation would not be available to us if Jesus Christ were still in that tomb. Yes, His death paid for our sins, but it was His resurrection that gives us the hope, that gives us the power of life, that gives us the power of eternal blessings. We find that in the resurrection. So every one of you here this morning that calls on Jesus Christ as Lord, you are an argument for His resurrection. And then finally, we have the predictions. In Matthew's recording, if we look at it alone, Jesus said three times that I must die. Three times He said, I must go into Jerusalem, I must be given over to the teachers of the law, the Son of Man must be put to death, and on the third day I will rise again. He said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I will build it back. He was not talking about an architectural structure. And the argument here that we read in Scripture about the chief priests, why would they pay the guards to lie if in fact it was a lie? These are arguments that we can have for the truthfulness of the resurrection. However, there are those who will say it doesn't matter. There will be those who say, okay, so maybe he did rise again. Why does it matter? What does it matter if we believe in a resurrected Savior as long as we believe maybe in His teachings? He was a good teacher. Let's follow His teacher, His teachings, and let's try to act and conduct our lives like He did. Well, it matters greatly that we believe in the resurrection. It matters greatly that we believe and understand that Jesus Christ did in fact rise again. We can't just push it off as some incidental factor. Here are the reasons, the implications of why it matters. First of all, the resurrection is the heart of the gospel. It is the very heart of the gospel. We hear many times of the preaching of the cross. And the preaching of the cross is right. The preaching of the cross is good. But the preaching of the cross is not the whole story. The essence of the gospel doesn't find its fulfillment until you bring it through the resurrection. There would be no good news if the tomb was still occupied. There would be no hope beyond this life if he's still in the tomb. If the tomb were still occupied, then we may as well eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die and it's all over. But no, the tomb is empty. Secondly, the resurrection is the proof that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God. There's one statement here in Matthew's Gospel that proves that He is the Son of God. It says, when the women saw Him, suddenly they came and clasped His feet and worshipped Him. If He were not God, why would they worship Him? If He were a lie, why would they fall before Him and worship Him? He was, in fact, the Son of God. The proper response to Jesus is worship, and only because He is the Son of God. The third is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the springboard for all of our ministry, for all of our work. In just a few moments or later in the same passage, you will read that He sent His disciples out. He sent them out with the knowing of His resurrection. And fourthly, that same power of the raised Jesus Christ is available to you. How do we do what we do? How do you overcome the trials and troubles of life? How do you withstand the things that face you that would take some people and throw them into deep despair? How can we have hope? It is in the words of Jesus Christ in the Great Commission. He said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, he couldn't make those statements. But then those statements would have no validity at all. Because the same power that's available, that was available to Jesus Christ, is available to you. Simply as a believer. Simply as a believer. We have evidence like this. We have purpose like this. We have reasoning like this. Then why is the response so great by so many that it's not true? Now, some of you will probably say, I don't know anyone who says it's not true. We in the South, we're still a little bit protected. We're still a little confined here. We still live in the Bible Belt, and so most of our neighbors will say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and yeah, He's raised from the dead. Okay. But if you go outside our region, there are multitudes and multitudes who say, you can't believe this. You scientifically cannot prove that Jesus Christ raised himself or was raised from the dead. So how do you expect me to believe it? Why the response? Well, here's the argument, or here is the response to that. And it's much the same response I would give to one who didn't believe in the creation story. Did God in fact create, or are we the products of evolution? It goes like this. If you accept that God did create this world, then that means this world belongs to Him. And if this world belongs to Him, He gets to make the rules. And if He gets to make the rules and I'm created, then that means I owe authority to Him. And I'm just not ready to do that. So I will say, no, He didn't create the world. Therefore, I dismiss God. The resurrection has the same argument. If God did, in fact, raise Jesus from the dead, then that means He must be pretty powerful. And since it's an unparalleled event, that must mean He is supernaturally powerful. Well, if He's supernaturally powerful, then that must mean He's what? God. And I'm not ready to accept Him as God, because if I accept Him as God, then I've got to listen to Him. So I'll deny the resurrection. At bottom, all of this is simply, do you believe the Scriptures or not? It's that simple. Do you believe the Bible you hold in your hands is the very Word of God? If it is, it says He was raised, and so He is. It's actually a pretty simple argument to respond to. But we still have the two responses. We have those who believe and those who create the lies. Here in the recordings of Matthew's, we have those two. We have the story of the two ladies, and then we have the story of the chief priests and the makers of the law. One believed and worshipped. One did not believe and created a lie. A lie that still circulates. So my question this morning is very simple to each and every one of us, because it's an answer that you have to give personally. No one can answer it for you. How do you respond? How do you respond to the resurrection? Do you believe the Scriptures are true? Do you understand it to be true? And so therefore you fall in worship at His feet? Or are you a skeptic and create rationalizations or, point in fact, lies? It's not a hard question, but its response requires an action. Remember these words. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a fact, because I believe, just as this church believes, that these Scriptures are true. Now, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The only question is when. When? Will one do it on this side of the grave, or will one do it on the judgment side of the grave? Because at judgment, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord will have to confess that He is Lord, but then it's too late. And if you are one that is a skeptic and doesn't quite accept this, then are you willing to wager all of eternity on your response? That's a pretty high wager. Every one of us will have to respond to Jesus Christ. I pray we do it on this side of the grave, because Jesus is, in fact, raised from that grave. Let us pray. Father, I believe, but I pray you would help my unbelief. Lord, there are many here today who love and live Jesus Christ, and I thank you for them. But Father, there may also be those here today who do not understand, who do not know, who have not accepted. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work, that each individual would be able to respond. As the Scriptures lead us. Now, do we accept that Jesus Christ is in fact raised from the dead? Do we accept in fact that we can too overcome the depth and fear and heartaches of the grave? Jesus has a wonderful promise that His love is made for us all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. If you are here this morning and you would like to respond differently than you have responded in the past, and you would like to respond in favor of that resurrecting Lord, we can do that today. If you would like for me to remember you in prayer as I close, please lift your hand and say, "Oh Lord, please forgive me and help me to respond to your living, not create lies about your death." Would you like for me to pray for you? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.